What would it take to be irreplaceable in the age of AI? Is that even possible? I've been thinking about this question a lot because I'm wrestling with two different job offers. One is from Morgan Stanley, a far more typical role in tech. On the other hand, I could end up with Anaplan in a role that's more sales adjacent, tech sales heavy. Now, an SDR position is not really AI proof. SDRs in and of themselves are going to be ruled out. But sales, I get the impression, is going to be a harder industry to kill, even if I've studied Salesforce a lot and my capacity is very technical. As authors Daniel and Richard Susskind write in The Future of the Professions, AI may well represent the biggest competitive threat. Machines are increasingly becoming capable and are taking on more and more of the tasks that were once the exclusive province of human professionals. We are ultimately all feeling this. 6 years ago, when I first got an offer with Salesforce, I didn't have any certifications at the time, except for Marketing Cloud Email Specialist, which is relatively easy to get. And that interface only required the simplest of click-based declarative programming, and maybe a little bit of SQL inside Automation Studio. And SQL isn't really that hard to learn. Today, AI can write all of these queries for me. Same with Salesforce's other interfaces, Sales Cloud, Service Cloud. So much of their functionality and even decision-making can be solved by AI. So, is Morgan Stanley the better position because I'd have more money up front now? Or should I put myself in a position where I can grow in sales, eventually becoming an account executive and then even enterprise level account executive? The biggest industry that has taken a hit from AI is consulting. Think about it. What does a consultant do? They sort of have a monopoly on research and compiling information. And despite all of their manpower, they can't really compete with a robot when it comes to research and compilation. Consultants back in the day had a monopoly on being able to research and deploy change. Bain and McKinsey were actually famous for having a $1 million one-page slide, a single PowerPoint slide that they claimed was so valuable that it was worth $1 million in consulting fees. They'd have a harder time making that same argument now. These bots, their natural feature is to consolidate information. A consultant is suddenly much less rare. They're not the only ones who can process data and use it to tease out insights. Even in my own fitness journey, at the end of July, ChatGPT was actually more instrumental in me dropping 4 pounds of fat than even my personal trainer had been for a long season of my life. And that's because at 8 p.m., when I'm coming home from a lift, when I'm coming home from a workout, I actually could talk to chat about what meal would serve me best. And I would take photos of the salad that I was making, and it would motivate me. It would say things like, "This meal is gonna help get you peeled." Or, "Instead of eating Halo Top ice cream tonight, just have a little bit of cottage cheese. That's what's gonna get you to the result you want." It actually gave me a ton of encouragement. And my trainer, as great as he was, couldn't be there for me like every minute of every day whenever I want. I want to talk about what it would take to last throughout these changes, what it would take to become irreplaceable in the age of AI. I do think there's a way forward to make money and create wealth, but we're going to have to move fast because the industry of technology, the innovation of change, it's all speeding up and we're going to have to move faster to keep up with the times. Part one, lessons from Dune. In the universe of Dune, Frank Herbert mentions the Butlerian Jihad, events that took place before the proceedings of the first book, in which humans waged war against robots, and they were ravaged in the process. Now, the humans survived, they made it, they ultimately won. But since that time, they had a devastation occur, and they had to be very careful around computers, to the point where they had mentats, who were human computers, to process information, to stay away from robots of all kind. Ultimately, this meant the world became so advanced that they had to revert back to primitive ways. Warfare with knives and force field shielding. Even guns and lasers didn't really work because if a laser hit a force field shield, it would create like a mini atomic explosion. Above all else though, there was a threat that was recognized from robots and all computer intelligence. I think this is actually a truth. It's a truth for today, even if the results for today are less dramatic than a Butlerian Jihad. I noticed this in my own coaching program because ever since the advent of ChatGPT, many of my coaching clients have become less competent writers. It's incredibly pathetic. We used to need to trust our own judgment completely to make a decision. Now people can't even fire off a corporate email without running it through chat. In a book titled Irreplaceable, author Pascal Burnett calls this phenomenon AI obesity. Basically, it's the slow death of human intuition and language because we're no longer flexing our muscles to think and write as much. We're getting intellectually fat. In my own coaching program, ChatGPT is completely banned. In fact, I once had an employee who would present me weekly logs of the work he did, and when I recognized that so much of the stuff that he was sending me, so many of his insights and analysis and things he wanted to say was being run through a program, was being run through ChatGPT. I called him out for it, and I threatened to fire him. And when he wouldn't let up, he continued to use it. I actually let him go. Now, you might think this is harsh, but if you don't have the confidence to trust your own words fully, you can never connect with a person. In fact, I would argue that you can't even know yourself. You need to read and write to know who you are. And if you don't see that, you are intellectually weak. You might be able to get away with it for a little bit, but slowly you will come to realize your self-reliance and inner trust with your language is entirely gone. Any hope of the divine or inner creativity of the fire within has been eaten up by intellectual laziness, by letting yourself get wheelchaired around by an AI prompt. So what's the solution to this? The answer is that you must write every day and every week. You must ask yourself questions and then formulate your own responses to them. Instead of asking a question and immediately turning to research, or even worse, turning to a prompt, listen. Listen to the silence and try to get a response from yourself, from within. You would be surprised by how many questions in your life you are able to answer. Whether it's, how can I train for a triathlon? How can I get faster? How can I get jacked? I mean, it could be so many different things. How do I get a job? Instead of turning to ChatGPT, wait in the silence and see what comes out. And if nothing comes out, then you should read and annotate more books and decipher information for yourself. Gain experience in the real world. Talk to people. Go out and do stuff. Which brings me to the next idea of the video, the power of physical spaces. Physical spaces and tactile work are incredibly powerful. The spaces you occupy, they're the fastest way to change your thinking. If you want to think like a certain person or a certain occupation, go to the place where that person would go. Go do the things that person would do. Embody the performance of what you want to be. I remember when generative AI first came out, so many content creators turned to, I don't know, those fake looking AI thumbnails. Every thumbnail was sort of taken over by something that was made by a prompt, and it all looked so ugly. It looked so fake. I never fell for that trap. For better or worse, every single one of my thumbnails has always been shot in camera. And you can feel it. Go look over my channel, look over every thumbnail, you'll see the impact of it. I have always been immediately there, on location, in person, shooting with a real piece of glass, getting the shot, making the thing myself. There is a personalization that kicks in, that makes a piece of content stand out when you make the thing by hand. Now, the first sign of modernization is the movement from something being bespoke to standardized. Instead of handmade chairs, we have IKEA and things that are run through a factory. Now, this isn't a bad thing completely. Standardization does have its usefulness. For instance, in his book, The Checklist Manifesto, Atul Gawande talked about how so many processes, whether it's being a surgeon or a pilot, it actually became better when you had a checklist. And even for my own creative process, when I began implementing checklists, I found that my creativity actually surged. I started getting better results. Pre-production, B-roll shoots, even the way I approach an edit, all of that became more refined and more powerful when I understood the framework from where something was coming from. So to give you a quick example, with every single one of my YouTube videos, I read and annotate a book in full, at least one book. I churn on these ideas for a little bit of time. I even do my best to have a conversation with another person. All that informs a YouTube script that is both written and planned out, but also allows for free-flowing dialogue to come out in the middle of recording the video. Similarly, when I do a B-roll shoot, I have some sort of plan of what I want to get out of that location, what type of lenses I will use, how I'm going to get the shot, what my movie inspiration is and whatnot. But once I'm on location, I also allow my intuition to take over. More or less, any given B-roll shoot runs for 60 to 90 minutes in length. I get around 20 to 30 shots of video and around 200 or 300 photos. It's a very reliable system that I run through, but it allows me to not overthink my creative process and still allow flexibility in the moment. I have similar processes for editing, for uploading, for all that, for outreach, for any aspect of the process around content creation, because I've been doing it for so long. Whereas back in the day, when I didn't have standardization invoked, I felt confused a lot more often. I was nervous about what I needed to do or if I was doing enough. So standardization definitely does help, but standardization in a process should not eclipse putting in that personal touch. When you follow your intuition, there is an element of God. You might find that throughout your life, you've had these moments where you captured a flow state. And so what came out was just so much better. It was intellectually powerful. You accidentally stumbled into better results. There's so many reasons or ways that you might tap into this. One thing I find that makes a big difference in terms of God being in the work is just sleeping enough. For some reason, being very well rested And having a nervous system that's very calm allows for great ideas to generate. And the one thing in contrast that dramatically cuts me off from the source is not sleeping. In other elements, I've found things like sunlight, semen retention, hydration. They've all helped me be attuned to my inspiration. But also, I've come to realize that in recent times, having an element of attacking the work, especially when you come across a level of resistance, you know you have a task that you need to do, but you're afraid to do it, or all day you're having a sense of dread about it. When you get in and you attack that task, I think that also connects you to the divine. For me, in many regards, it's every aspect of the video creation process. I feel an internal resistance with it. And then I would say the other thing is leg day and swimming. I'm always nervous to do leg day, and I usually dread going into a morning swim just because the drudgery can kick in hard. But when I do my work and I give it an element of attacking it, that connects me to intuition. In contrast, in seasons of my life where I've overutilized ChatGPT or haven't done some of these practices like attack the stuff I need to do, then the work comes out extremely rote. It comes out really uninspired and kind of robotic. When you follow your intuition, you also need to accept yourself. You need to accept all the stuff that's going on inside you and the stuff that makes you weird. One of the cinema inspirations or TV inspirations that I think is so inspired is actually True Detective Season 1. For anyone who's seen it, you would know Nico Palazzito, whatever his name is, was incredibly strange with the decisions he made around that show. The first season of True Detective mixed Southern Gothic horror with a classic detective story. Even though the story had a different framing device, it was broken across time with the sort of interview interrogation format. But to mix Southern Gothic horror, I mean, there were even implications in that show of like mummification and some really dark stuff. And mixing that with a detective story set in the South with Matthew McConaughey as the lead just coming up during his resurgence, that was a strange decision. I would say there was an element of God or self-trust in that that an AI prompt could not readily communicate. Similarly for me, even though I'm not a cinema genius, I've always had it in my heart to make an adaptation of William Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing, but set it during imperialist era India. If you can imagine a love story, the original romantic comedy, but fragmented in time under the spell of India's Rajasthani castles and British military uniforms next to Nehru jackets and kurtas, I would have Sir Benedict be renamed as Sir Bhaskar and Don Pedro be his sort of English officer, and show this love story take place in a different moment in time in which there was political turmoil between India and the English. I'm not saying I'm a genius or that a prompt couldn't come up with that. I'm sure a prompt could come up with this story idea. It's just a Shakespeare story set in a different era, sure. But the fact that the idea is original to me and always has been, even the music, even the way the character is meant to be revealed with a tilak, as each character is introduced, British military officers and Indians, it is original to me in a way. And I would argue that it signifies my connection to God. You have to find the things that make you original. And even though you might streamline and speed up the process, you might put in an element of standardization, you gotta keep the things that are uniquely you. That's the only way to be irreplaceable in the age of AI. Which brings me to the final idea, and one that's a bit more tactical. The next thing you need to learn will constantly reveal itself to you. Especially if you interact with physical spaces and real people, you're gonna find you're gonna stumble into your next idea very readily. A big part of what makes us us and separates us from these machines is the fact that we occupy physical spaces. These machines, they live in systems. They live online. They're powered online. We're powered by something else. We're powered by the sun and by food. They can't get into the brick and mortar and the dust in the ground that makes our world ours. Minnesota, Stillwater, St. Paul, the Mississippi River. The fact that this state is the way it is and I grew up in it, the Hindu Mandir, the Gita Ashram of Minnesota. These places that I've occupied all my life, they have informed the stories that I'm able to come up with, and they've informed the way I think. It's no surprise that an Indian guy in Minnesota would come up with an Irish love story, ultimately, because John Ireland Boulevard is right next to the St. Paul Cathedral, and there's a statue of St. Patrick, who's the patron of the Irish. So this element of Irish culture, Irish twang, has always been in these two cities. And I've been a part of these cities all my life. It's these physical spaces that help define the voice that could come out from within. Instead of asking the prompt what your next book recommendation should be, go to your local bookstore and stumble into your next read. Go talk to a stranger at a coffee shop and ask them what they're reading, then read that. I'm sure I sound mystical when I say this, but we've all had the experience of walking around a bookstore and being drawn to a certain book. What is that? It could be a unique book cover for sure, but to be in a physical space with the dust on the books and all of that, I would argue that is a connection to our humanity. That's a connection to God. And even with more technical work, for instance, right now this week, I'm prepping for the Salesforce Advanced Administrator exam because I've been struggling with Data Architect. So I pivoted over to Advanced Administrator, and it's also knowledge that would help me specifically with my position with Morgan Stanley. So I've been studying that, but there was an element of just following things I came across in real life when I started studying that material. Even other things that I feel drawn to, like studying to be a car mechanic, or like, you know, getting going through mechanic school and getting training in that. Any skill that you actually feel called to, it's demanded by things that you encounter in real life. I think when you do that, you're going to stumble into great opportunities, opportunities that'll continue to exist even when AI takes a lot of jobs that have redundancy in them. A good friend of mine, John Sonmez, who runs the channel Bulldog Mindset, but also Simple Programmer, he made the argument that learning how to learn is going to be the most important thing there is in the future, because the half-life of intellectual knowledge, the half-life of like tech knowledge especially, has been reduced to 5 years or less. This is to say that if I were to learn Python today, so much of what I teach myself is going to be irrelevant, like fully irrelevant in just a few years' time, because the half-life of intellectual knowledge is going down. I would say the half-life of knowledge that you encounter in physical spaces in the real world is longer. It's a lot longer, which is why I've been wrestling between Morgan Stanley and Anaplan, because sales is going to outlive technical knowledge. That quality of me interacting with another person and keeping that emotional intelligence and us both occupying these spaces together, even if it is over Zoom or a phone call, that's going to have an impact that AI is not going to take over for a bit. You have to be called to the things that make you uniquely human. And if you can do that, then genuinely I feel that millions of dollars can be made on the other side. If you're interested in working on your ability to read, write, and think, these skills that are going to be so valuable in the future coming up, especially when it comes to building a personal brand and standing out, then I would invite you to check out the first link in the description box. It's a link to my YouTube mastermind, which I've been running for the last 3 years. I help content creators do just that. Come up with their best writing, come up with their best work, write and speak scripts that are inspired, and ultimately build out a business backend that can keep them bulletproof as the industries and tides continue to shift and change. One of the reasons I was able to land a couple different offers in a tough tech market is because of my knowledge around building an online personal brand. It sounds like something that's been oversaid at this point, but it helped me stand out so much against hundreds of other applicants. So no matter what industry you're in, you're going to want to cultivate an ability to sell yourself and sell your own portfolio of work. I'd love to chat with you if I think you're a good fit. But with that being said, for those of us who are willing to rage against the machine, to us I say, greatness is coming.